In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And it's going to be a great hour. We're about to do Medal of Honor Monday. I'll get to some emails. I'm going to talk about, well, the Army-Navy game. And no, I'm not going to do sports radio. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. I'll explain in a few. It's going to come back to politics and just what Democrats are doing blows me away. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But you know what time it is. It is Monday. It's the start of the second hour. And that means it is time for Medal of Honor Monday. You know what we do. Every single Monday at this time, we do the exact same thing. We take a Medal of Honor citation. We read it. The men deserve to be remembered. Their deeds deserve to be remembered. We don't know these names. We don't know their deeds. And we need to hold these people up in front of our children and say, that's the type of person you want to be. That's the type of person you want to be. You know, I always talk about when we talk about heroes and things like that, I always talk about how I don't know how to put that into my sons. Like, I don't know how to raise them to be that type of man. You know, those two Navy SEALs we just lost over there trying to board a ship. It was ugly. The two Navy SEALs we just lost, and one of them went into the deep. He was trying to board. Horrible waters, horrible waves from what I understand. And his buddy went in after him. And they both died. And I said at the time, how do I raise my sons to be the type of man who looks at his buddy who goes into a raging ocean and goes in after him? Because that's the kind of man I want to raise. And I don't know. I'm not that guy. At least I don't think so, right? How do I do that? Well, I think maybe we continue to hold these people up and let them know that's the kind of man you want to be. And we just had the anniversary of Pearl Harbor about 9 days ago. And this one is from Pearl Harbor. Cassin Young is his name. Before I get to the actual citation, he was born in D.C. and then family moved him to Milwaukee. And his dad ran a drugstore, just a normal dude. And well, nothing wrong with running a drugstore, but then his son goes to the Naval Academy. And, well, this is what that man did.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For distinguished conduct in action, outstanding heroism, and utter disregard for his own safety above and beyond the call of duty, as commanding officer of the USS Vestal during the attack on the fleet in Pearl Harbor, territory of Hawaii, by enemy Japanese forces on the 7th of December 1941. Commander Young proceeded to the bridge and later took personal command of the 3-inch anti-aircraft gun. When blown overboard by the blast of the forward magazine explosion of the USS Arizona, to which the USS Vestal was moored, he swam back to his ship. We'll get to that in a moment. The entire forward part of the USS Arizona was a blazing inferno with oil afire on the water between the two ships as a result of several bomb hits. The USS Vestal was afire in several places and was settling and taking on a list. Despite severe enemy bombing and strafing at the time, and his shocking experience of having been blown overboard, Commander Young, with extreme coolness and calmness, moved his ship to an anchorage distant from the USS Arizona, and subsequently beached the USS Vestal upon determining that such action was required to save his ship. And I'm going to clarify a couple things in the story before I tell you how the story ends here. So one thing I like to do, I would recommend you do this. Everyone knows what Pearl Harbor is. I'm not going to bore you with that. Well, it wouldn't be boring, but everyone knows what Pearl Harbor is. But have you ever looked up? I love doing this. Remember, you should always do this when it comes to history. Look at a map. Look at a map of Pearl Harbor. Whenever we're discussing something, look at a map. Even if it's just the map on your phone, look at a map of Pearl Harbor. Now, you'll notice something if you look at, I'm doing it right now as I'm on the phone, as I'm on the phone talking to you, zoom out a little bit and look at Pearl Harbor. What do you see? Zoom out, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in. You see where Pearl Harbor is? And if, in case you're not watching, there's one narrow little waterway to get inside of Pearl Harbor. And then, of course, there's these, they almost look like lakes, right? They're harbors, but they look like these big lake-type harbors open up. But there's only one narrow waterway that gets you inside of Pearl Harbor. At Pearl Harbor, and you could go look at these pictures, they're available, or at least I believe above satellite pictures are available. I've seen them, but you can see how our ships were tied up that day. Part of what made Pearl Harbor was so devastating was... our ships were stationary. Ships are vulnerable to attack from planes. That we discovered in World War II. A ship, even a ship on the move, unless it has air cover of its own, meaning air power of its own, and until the end of the war when we develop better ammunition and anti-aircraft stuff, at the beginning of that war, if you were a ship and you were attacked by a swarm of planes, you were in very, very, very deep trouble. And it had never been that way before. And that is if you were on the move. If you were moored, if you were tied down, if you were stationary, you were finished. When you think about Pearl Harbor, you may think about these awesome battleships that were full of armor and all these other things. And they were. But you know what that's worth if you're not moving? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And when you look at Pearl Harbor, they were enclosed in this little harbor. Not only enclosed in this little harbor, but then they were at the dock. You know, they were moored at the dock. There was nowhere to go. And the Japanese, look, it was a brilliant surprise attack. It was the worst strategic move in the history of warfare because it ended up with millions of Japanese citizens being turned into vapor. But still, it was a disaster for us because the Japanese planned it well, implemented it well, and they knew our ships would be tied up. Now, if you look at how they were tied up, it's not as if they're tied up. Maybe you're under the impression, if I say tied up, because you're not there, maybe you're thinking one is kind of parked here at this dock and one's kind of parked over there at this dock. No, they were lined up practically touching each other two by two by two by two. It was like you put them in a sardine can and handed them over to the Japanese saying, here, bomb me. And obviously a lot of this stuff came out after the war where the commander, the admiral in charge, he got taken to the woodshed over this whole thing. But still, it's a disaster. And so this guy, USS Arizona blowing up, everyone knows it. You can go look at it to this day in Pearl Harbor. But this guy was on a ship next to it. He gets blown off the ship when Arizona goes up. He swims back to his ship. That's the most amazing part of this. If you ever read a book about what the waters were in Pearl Harbor, it sounds like the stuff of nightmares. It's not just that the water was on fire because of the oil in it. There were men in it on fire, screaming, burning alive. All around him, this guy swam through the fires of hell to get back into his ship. God only knows how he was doing physically. And got his ship away from the Arizona before it went up again and saved as much of his crew as he could and saved the ship itself. That's really impressive. And then he went on to fight in a naval battle in Guadalcanal. He received his Medal of Honor in April of 1942. In November of 1942, Cassin Young died in combat in the waters of Guadalcanal. And if you know anything about Guadalcanal, which we've talked about before on the show, a lot of our Navy guys died because the Japanese, frankly, had a superior Navy at the time, and we lost a lot of naval battles there. And he stood toe-to-toe with the Japanese and gave his life for this country after earning the Medal of Honor. And yeah, I'm going to play taps for the man. Rest in peace, brother. All right. Speaking of which, Trump went to the Army-Navy game, and something hit me as I was watching all that fanfare. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about making sure our T levels are where we need to be, making sure our energy levels are where they need to be, making sure our minds work the way they should work. We are under assault. It's in our foods. Lord knows I eat enough of it. It's in our waters. It's in our plastics. We drink freaking estrogen. We shower in it. We're under assault. Masculinity is under assault. How do we fight back? We fight back with a male vitality stack from Chalk. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. You won't even feel like the same person you feel like now. And this affects guys of all ages. So don't think, well, I'm not 60 yet. If you're 20, go get your levels checked. You probably need it in this society. CHOQ.com. It is Christmas special time. Massive discounts on any subscription and $50 bonus product on your first delivery. Chuck.com. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. I am so thankful for them. My goodness, they've been great to me. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. What a Monday it has been. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. So, Army-Navy game was Saturday. Army-Navy football game for you. Please tell me you knew what the Army-Navy game was. But the Army, Chris, are you serious, Chris? You didn't know what the Army-Navy game was? Corey, please tell me he's kidding. Please, what is wrong with you? Anyway, Army-Navy, for people who aren't Chris, most people know this, but just in case there are more Chris's out there, it's a big deal. Obviously, the two service academies have a big rivalry, big football rivalry, and the country has always loved it because It's one big military patriotic affair. All the students from everything, it's just wonderful. These people are in service. It's wonderful. And let's pause on that for a moment because Trump went to the Army-Navy game and Joe Biden never did during his entire time as president. Never did. Pause. Let me ask you something. Does your town do anything for the 4th of July? Did they ever do a 4th of July celebration in your town? Of course they do. I don't even have to ask where you're from because it doesn't matter if you're in New York City, LA, Miami, or a town of 100 people. Where you live, they do something for the 4th of July, don't they? Okay, they do. Now, let me ask you something. Does your mayor show up for your town's 4th of July celebration? Of course. Of course he does. Because it doesn't matter if he's a Democrat or a Republican. A 4th of July celebration for a politician is what you consider bread and butter basics. Basics. A professional basketball player has to be able to dribble a basketball. Doesn't mean he has to be able to dribble it super well. Not everyone's going to be Isaiah Thomas, but he has to be able to dribble a basketball. He has to be able to do that. A professional basketball player does. In the same way, a politician shows up at his town's 4th of July Independence Day celebration because it's the most basic thing in the world in politics. We are having a celebration. Even if you're in a place that's not thought of as traditionally super American or patriotic, the local mayor shows up because everyone is there. And you understand that everyone needs to see you there. It's a basic part of being a mayor. You don't leave town. Your mayor doesn't get to go down to Myrtle Beach and have a good time on the 4th of July. Your mayor has to be there. He's in the parade. He's probably giving a speech because it's basic politics. Basic bread and butter Americana politics. Donald Trump just went to his 5th Army-Navy game. And everyone's celebrating him for it? And I'm actually not. I'm glad he went, don't get me wrong. But yeah, that's basic. Of course he would go to the Army-Navy game. He's the American president, former, and about to be again. So of course you would go to the Army-Navy game. The scandal, the shock would be if you ever missed it. Joe Biden has never gone in his time as president. They play the game every single year. In his time as president, he's never attended the game. Now remember, this is not a Republican game. It's not a Democrat game. It's one of the most basic patriotic events out there. Everyone acknowledges these are not two juggernaut football teams and never will be because the best recruits aren't going to generally sign up in order to have to serve after you want to go pro. So don't get me wrong, they're fine athletes, but it's not going to be the best college football you've ever seen in your life. It's just not going to be. But it is the essence of patriotism. There's a military flyover. The anthem is a huge event. The crowd is all decked out in red, white, and blue. And that doesn't count. The students are in some form of uniform. It's the most basic bread and butter Americana thing you can do. Frankly, every single politician, Republican and Democrat, should be in the stands. It's the most basic thing. But Joe Biden has never gone. And the reason I bring this up is not to insult Joe Biden. Maybe I'm just in a super hopeful, good mood today. I don't know what it is. But to me, Joe Biden never attending the game is just yet another example of why the Democrat Party is currently in the wilderness, and they might be in the wilderness for some time. You see, why doesn't Joe Biden go to the Army-Navy game? Well, it's not just because that's nap time for Joe. It's because patriotism is something you're not even allowed to show if you're a Democrat politician anymore. Remember, these people poll test everything. Every single thing is poll tested, and let's check with the crowd. Let's check the pulse of our voters. I'll explain exactly what I mean in just a moment. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns. Yeah. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Do not forget to, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Joe Biden can't ever attend an Army-Navy game because they have poll tested their base. And now it looks bad if they show any patriotism. That's how anti-American the Democrat Party has become. How insane is that? Go look at the history of American presidents going to Army-Navy games. It's never been a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. It's kind of what you do as president. You show up, normally even walk out on the field, and the troops cheer, and it's Mr. President, and it's the flag, and it's Americana. It's the most basic bread and butter thing in the world because it's so patriotic, and the Democrat Party is so America-hating now, Joe Biden can't do it. What, Chris? Now, that's actually a very fair point, almost. Chris said, Jewish producer Chris said, he would have to be in public for 3.5 hours. He can't do it. I thought about that. And while that's a fair point, it's not totally fair because here's what he could do. They could juice him up with whatever cocktails they used to give him before the debates, bring him out on the field, let him kind of do that drunken stiff man walk he does across the field, wave a little bit, bring him up to the luxury box, make sure he gets on TV, saluting the flag for the anthem, and then halfway through the first quarter, whisk him on out the back door and send him back to the White House for his Werther's Originals and nap time. It's not like he has to stay for the whole game or pretend to even know what's going on the field. He has to make an appearance, but he never did. Trump's being praised for going to something everyone should go to. But Trump's being praised because we're used to 4 years now of this anti-American slop from these people. It's wild. Okay, now I need to update a couple things. Speaking of American, have you ever heard of SHOT Show? I'm almost ashamed to say I've never gone. I've heard of it. I really don't want to sound like Chris here. The last couple times I've looked at going, I've thought it was too expensive. Shut up, Chris. Like you would pay the money to go. They jacked the prices up, and I don't want to pay those ticket prices. It's not that the tickets themselves are expensive, but you look at plane tickets and hotels, and I'm not a huge Vegas guy anyway. I got that out of my system when I was a young, very stupid man. I just don't know why I would go. No, although I'm told the restaurant scene is much better. But anyway, it's this big show, from what I understand, with all these sweet retailers selling everything you could possibly imagine, right? For dudes, it's going to be guns and non-lethals. Burn is going to be there. You know how much I adore Burn. Burn will be there. It's going to be blades. It's going to be everything you could imagine. Well, this year, it's in Vegas, obviously. And I was thinking about going. It's in January. And you know what Ob said to me? I said, hey, I'm thinking about going to SHOT Show this year. And she gets this look on her face where she's getting ready to lecture me, which automatically makes me start laughing, which makes her angrier more. But she gets this look on her face and she says, now you listen to me. And I know it's about to be good. And now I can't stop laughing. And I said, I get a straight face. I said, yes, princess. And she said to me, what did she say? Verbatim. She said, you are not a spy. You are not a ninja. You are not in the CIA. Don't go buy a bunch of stupid gadgets and things at SHOT Show. To which I replied, well, maybe I could be those things if I had the right gear. I feel like maybe I have to go to SHOT Show this year and get some spy gear. What, Chris? What? That's a good point. We all need to go to SHOT Show this year. Chris, we can do our show from Vegas, can't we? There's no reason we shouldn't be able to do our show from Vegas. Well, I'm not doing it from SHOT Show. I don't do remotes. I don't, Chris. The last one I did, remember, I've done two ever. I did the first one let me clarify for you. When I say remote, I know you've heard these before. The radio show you listen to, whatever you happen to like, they will go out in public at something, a sports bar or a car dealership or a convention or something like that. And instead of doing the show in a studio like where I am now with Chris and Corey, instead you're out in public at a table. There's public milling around. When I started, they had us do one of these. This has got to be all of 6 years ago. It was like a month after I started. They had us do one of these at a brewery here in Houston where we are. And I pitched a little bit of a fit at the time, but not a big enough fit. I mean, we were doing a 7 to 8 o'clock at night show no one listened to anyway. It's not like you have the leverage to say no. So all you can do is pitch a little bit of a fit and then say, yes, sir, I'll have another. We go out to this thing, and I'm Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, this room we were in, 20 by 20, max, 20 by 20 room, and there were probably 30 people in the room, and it's not even as if I was doing the show from some standoff desk. I had people surrounding me, and you could hear everybody talking through the microphone. And so it's wonderful for the people in the brewery who get to watch the beauty of live radio with a real journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
But you know who it sucks for? Everyone listening on the radio. Nobody listening on the radio likes remotes. Nobody. Ever, ever, ever. Not a single person listening right now has ever said, boy, you know what I'd really like? I wish my favorite radio show would go out to Tom and Bill's truck stop. I'd love to hear some truckers in the background. And that's not against truckers, but nobody wants to hear them on the radio in the background. It show sounds like crap for everyone else listening. And the only other time I have ever done a remote was when Premier set up some sick setup at the convention, the Republican convention this last time. And I did that because we were so separated from the crowd that it didn't sound like crap for you. My concern is you. I mean, I could survive there, but my concern is you. The show sounds like crap for the people who are listening, and that's 99.99% of your audience. They're not there. So that was a long way of saying, I'm not what, Chris, what? What if SHOT Show sets up a booth? No, I'm not doing it. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing a remote. Absolutely refuse. But we could find a sick studio in Vegas. We'll find a studio in Vegas. Well, it doesn't have to be sick. Maybe we do it from the room or something like that. Hotel room or something like that. We go to the room. We go, what? Can we not do a show from the room, Chris? Does that sound fine? What are you two nerds here for? Isn't that your job to set up the kind of technical stuff with the knobs and stuff like that? We go. We do a show from Vegas, and then we give people updates every night on all the new spy and spec op gear we bought that day. Now, we're going to run into some problems because Ob's going to be listening to the show to try to pay attention to what I purchased and what I didn't purchase. And you should know that after she got done lecturing me, she walked away frustrated because I did not give her the answer she was looking for. That is for sure. Let's do some emails, shall we? Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. If you missed Medal of Honor Monday or any other of the witty commentary tonight on the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's dig into some emails. Jesse. Hey, Oracle with planet-sized hands, he says. I'm a 17-year-old, and I found myself arguing with a commie on YouTube about the border. Should I continue or let it go? And his name is Johans. Listen, Johans, this isn't just for you, brother. This is for everybody, men, women, young, old. Social media arguing. It's not something you want to get into. It's one of those things, I'll tell you what it is. It's one of those things that it sounds great and it feels great. And when you're done, you feel worse than you felt before and nobody benefited at all. I see people do this all the time. Like I said, young, old, men, women, they get in these ongoing social media spats. And then it's, and I told him, and then that she said me, but then I sent him this link, and then it. And you know what? I have never, ever, 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 ever heard one time in my life after a social media spat. I have never heard somebody said, oh, I feel so much better. And that has been a wonderful 30-minute use of my time arguing with some moron on social media. Listen, when it comes to social media, like everything else, there are wonderful things and there are terrible things. The wonderful thing about social media is it allows us to connect with people, not only old friends, new friends. I know people who've met their wives, husbands on social media. It gives you a great feeling of connection. And it does allow you to access politicians. And I was about to say celebrities, but that's probably not healthy. I'll explain why in a moment. But it allows you to access politicians. If your senator is Ted Cruz, you know, even Chris Murphy, he's a Democrat. But pick your congressman, your senator, and you respond to them on social media, on Twitter or something somewhere, the chances are very good they're going to read it. Do you know, I found this out, I told you this a while ago, that I put a bunch of things on Twitter, or I guess it's called X now. And as you can imagine, it's irreverent, and I make some jokes on there and whatnot. There is actually, amongst the U.S. senators, there is a private text message group that passes my tweets around. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, that's just because, this radio show or whatnot. No, you don't understand. I talk to these guys. They will send me things that normal people have responded to them with on social media. Maybe you responded with, hey, Ted, you look ugly with your beard. These are the kind of text messages I've seen them read and respond to and show their friends. You can have access to the people in power, and that is awesome. That is wonderful. At the same time, having access to all people of all kinds also means all people of all kinds have access to you. And there's a lot of morons out there. Unbelievable. Weapons-grade morons who are losers, who are unhappy with their lives. And, you know, that old saying, misery loves company, it's the truest thing in the world. And you see it all over social media. There are miserable losers who hate their lives and hate everything, and they go on to social media for the express purpose of finding remotely happy people and ruining their day. Do not spend your time arguing back and forth with dorks on social media. If you wanna fire and forget, that's fine. I support that, and I'll do that. Meaning you want to leave a comment, a little snark, and then pew, off you go? Totally acceptable. Drop that bomb and move on. But do not ever, ever, ever sit and haggle it out with someone on social media. Jesse, a while ago you reported on an opening in New York City for a rat trapper. After witnessing your lack of success in your own home to trap the mice and rats in your house, I now know why you're still hosting a radio show in Houston and not sitting on a throne of rat skulls in New York. All right, I have a little bit of an update. As you know, we have some sort of a rodent problem. They broke into the pantry. They ate through the wicker basket and ate through a couple bags of chips, crapped everywhere and left. My wife called pest control. Wanted a pest control company to come out and take care of it. I freaked out, put my foot down and said, no, this is a man's job. This is my job. I will handle it. And I have approximately 7,000 mouse traps currently set up in the house, all over the attic, the pantry, and everything. But now the problem has gotten more severe in the last 12 hours because the traps keep getting snapped, not by Fred, keep getting snapped. I'm finding the snapped traps with no mouse in them, and they broke into the chip basket again last night and ate through a bag of chips. That, combined with this little tidbit, has got me in a bit of a pickle. Ob and I were laying in bed last night trying to go to sleep, and scratch, 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 and it sounded like it was right by her head. You can imagine how well that landed. Obviously, we looked. There was nothing there, which means it's in the wall by her head. And I went up into the attic again to check my traps. They're in the attic, and they're in the walls, and they're not mice. It's official. They're rats. Mice would have been long dead because they keep snapping the traps. The traps are snapping, but not killing and entrapping anything, because what they're snapping on is too big for a little mouse trap to handle. And my wife is not big on ultimatums, but she told me one this morning. She said, "You have 48 hours, and I'm calling the pest control company back." So we are officially on 48 hours watch to eradicate the rat trap problem. But I will, and I'll explain how in a moment before I get to that. Speaking of rats, Hamas is not a very good organization. In fact, it's a freaking deeply evil organization. It's horrific. And the people of Israel have been bombed, stabbed, butchered by these people. Hezbollah now. And now they have to worry about the Syrian border. It's just problems on all sides. And the people in Israel have to live with this all the freaking time. All the time, running to a bomb shelter, doing that. It's freaking awful. The IFCJ, they've been on the ground for over 40 years, helping these people on the ground. The government's got the military stuff. I'm talking about handing out flak jackets, food, building bomb shelters. These are the things that matter. The IFCJ is helping. Help them, help the people of Israel. Go to supportifcj.org or call 888-488-IFCJ. I'll give you a rat update and then we'll do a whole other hour. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.